Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints Contemporary Service Online. My name is Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints, and it is wonderful to join you to worship and praise the Lord this morning. You can see this morning I've decided to come out into the garden. Many churches, because of the COVID restrictions, have chosen to come out into the open air to worship, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So I thought I'd do that for a change. Now we're going to continue with our series today in teaching out of Philippians, and Judith Keene is going to come and teach about keeping on finding contentment. Now, before we get going, there are a couple of things you might need for this service. The first thing is that you need a pen, and a piece of paper. We'll need that in a moment, so you might want to stop and go and get that. We're also going to do something slightly different this morning, and we're going to share communion together. And I'm very conscious we haven't done that online at this service for a very long time. So you might like to get a cracker or some bread or some juice or some wine to be able to share later as a symbol of togetherness in that act of communion together. So you might like to get those before we start. Now, last week I quoted Eugene Peterson, and it was a quote about his interpretation or definition of worship. And he said this: worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God. And so, as we come to worship this morning, can I encourage you to set aside whatever week you've had, whatever's going on in your life, good, bad, difficult, challenging, rejoice, good things, whatever it is, set it aside and let us fix our eyes on our sovereign Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, this morning. And as we do that, let me read from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout out loud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, for he is our God. We are his people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So let us begin our worship this morning by lifting our voices and our hearts in praise, and let us shout to the Lord. Let us worship together.
Oh, majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty.
Father, thank you that you are our sovereign God, and we come before you this morning to give all of ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I said earlier that Judith is going to come and teach on keep on finding your contentment. Well, let me ask you, what brings you contentment? Is it, what are the little things and the big things that bring you contentment in your life? Is it the family being together? Is it being with friends and family? Is it about having a good job, food on the table, a nice car, food, holidays, playing games, having hobbies, playing golf perhaps? Is it good health? Is it just knowing that each day you can look up to the hills in Malvern and know that God is with you? And let me also ask you, what are the things that bring you discontentment? What do you struggle? Where do you get unsettled and struggle with life? Is it ill health? Is it an argument with friend or family? Is it being isolated and alone? Is it not having enough food or not having enough finance and money? Is it just the bad weather that makes you discontent? I wonder what those answers of those questions are for you. Well, we're going to do a little sort of little exercise that will get us thinking and be able to receive Judith's teaching more fully. And so I want you to get your piece of paper and your pen. And I want to encourage you, and you can do this as a family as well. You don't have to just do it on your own. But on your piece of paper, split it into two and put discontent and content. And what we're going to do is we're going to listen to some music now. And for 2 or 3 minutes, why don't you, wherever you are, whether you're alone or with your family, write a list of those things that speak of those things for you. What brings you contentment in life and what brings discontentment? So let me pray over you as we go into that, and then we'll listen to some music. Lord, Heavenly Father, stir our hearts. Would you help us to be honest with ourselves, to recognize the things that bring discontentment and the things that bring contentment. Amen. So let's play some music, and you can start writing. Some of you might have found that quite hard. Some of you might have found it very easy. Your list may be very long or it may be very short. There's no right or wrong. It's just to get us stirring and thinking. So hold on to that. We're going to come back to that after Judith's teaching. But one thing that might make us discontented in life is when we get lost. Lost if we're going from A to B and we can't find our destination, we might get pretty discontented with that. Or we might get pretty discontented when we are lost and we are separate from Jesus and we're not living in union with Jesus and our fellow man. Well, this week's video, a kids' video, is actually about the parable of the lost sheep. And Ruth Wharton has done that for us this week. So I'm going to invite the children to go off and use the resources that are on the website. And also the video is there for you now. the rest of us, we're going to stay together, and we're now going to listen to this morning's Bible reading read by Sarah Yeadon.
The reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello everyone. Well, we're getting towards the end of our series on Philippians, and this week we're looking at a short passage, but one that has got lots in it. I've really enjoyed looking at it as I prepared for this talk, and so I hope you enjoy it too as we look at it together. And I found that although there were only a few verses, several of them were really open to misinterpretation if they were looked at too quickly. And there's a good lesson on why we need to be careful and study the Word of God carefully. So I'll just pick up on those points as we go ahead. First of all then, Paul in this passage is acknowledging the support that the Philippian church have sent him. And he'd already mentioned this back in chapter 2. And verse 10 is our first verse, which at a quick reading we could misinterpret, because it seems to be a criticism that they had stopped helping him. But we very quickly see as we go on that that's not the case. And Paul recognises that the help was just held up for reasons that he doesn't explain, because obviously they knew what they were. Paul wants them not to feel guilty by assuring them that he'd been fine without their help. But then he seems to realise that this could be taken as a lack of gratitude. So he adds that he rejoiced in their help. And so for me, those first few verses feel a little bit muddled. There's a bit of a muddled message in there. And I actually quite like that because it makes Paul seem a little bit more human. And it's something I think that we can relate to, because he's wanting to say thank you and he's not wanting to put a burden of expectation on them. He wants to make it clear he's not expecting help. And asking for and giving help can be a bit of a minefield, can't it? And I wonder, are you somebody who struggles to ask for help when perhaps you could really do with some? Or do some of us expect help as a matter of course, perhaps a bit unreasonably? Do we say thank you gracefully, whether or not we'd really wanted or needed the help? Or do we expect to be thanked and get rather miffed when we don't? One part of my extended family was notorious when their children were younger for not getting them to write or phone up to say thank you for their Christmas and birthday presents. And I must admit, it did rankle after a while and the family got a bit irritated about it. So gratitude, sometimes a bit of a difficult thing. But Paul then uses this situation as a teaching opportunity to talk about contentment and how important it is, not just to him, but also for the Philippians. And not just in difficult times, but in good times as well. And if the challenges around giving and receiving help resonate, how much more does this? The world today does not encourage us to be content. It encourages us to expect the best of circumstances all the time, to have plenty, as Paul describes it. Maybe we deserve a more fulfilling job, a bigger house. We want to be proud of our children and to tell everyone how successful they've been. We seem to be encouraged to trade up our phone almost before we've got the previous one set up and working. The grass is always greener somewhere else, we're told. And we are encouraged to see poverty as a trial and abundance as a blessing. Paul doesn't. Why is this? Well, there are dangers from not being content, whether that is in times of want or in times of plenty. Perhaps it's more obvious if we're going through difficult times. Of course, there is the challenge then of trying not to be worried about it, of trying to trust God. But that constant focus on survival and getting through rather than focusing on our relationship with God. But if we are materially comfortable, as many of us, I would suggest, are for much of the time, at least in the Western world, if we are comfortable or in good circumstances but not content, there is the danger that we will become greedy for more and more, fearful of losing what we have. Developing a self-sufficient mindset, pride in our own achievements, rather than trusting in God. And Jesus warned about this in Matthew 6, where he encouraged people by saying, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If our treasure is in the material possessions of the world and positive circumstances, that is where our heart will be. Paul has already stated where his treasure is in Philippians chapter 3. It's Jesus and his relationship with him. And Paul wears his heart on his sleeve as well, doesn't he? Paul's treasure is Jesus and his heart is in doing Jesus' work. And this helps to explain his approach to circumstances. The word Paul uses for contentment is a Stoic philosophical term, which his listeners would have been familiar with. And the Stoic philosophers meant it as finding sufficiency, finding enough within yourself and not being controlled by your circumstances. And so when Paul says he is content in all circumstances, he isn't being stiff upper lip, he's not being fatalistic, oh, what will be, he isn't just ignoring his circumstances and pretending they're not there. It's about not letting himself be affected by them. And in the Message version of this passage, he says, "I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little." And I think that expresses it really well. So how has Paul reached this point? We've already seen that his treasure is Jesus. But how does he learn to set his circumstances aside? Well, he tells us he's learned a secret, which he shares in verse 13, where he says, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." And this is the second verse that I found needed to be looked at carefully in this passage. It's one that I learned as a young Christian, as a single verse, out of context, and I took it to mean that God will help us to succeed in anything we do. But if we look at the context here, it's clear that this is not what Paul is saying. He is not saying we can do whatever we want and expect God to bless it. He's not saying that if I choose to leave a work deadline to the last minute, I can expect God to help me pull a result out of the hat. Rather, it's specifically sharing Paul's experience that Christ helps him to deal with his circumstances, whatever they are, so that he can continue to do Christ's work in that situation. Whatever we're going through, he says, if we draw on Christ, he will help us through it. So rather than that Stoic understanding of sufficiency within yourself, he's actually saying, you need to look for Christ's sufficiency, Christ's strength, in order to ignore or put aside your circumstances. And again, Jesus had talked about this, where in John 15 he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we're back to growing our relationship with Jesus, pressing on to know him better, just as Dave spoke about a few weeks ago. But how do we do that practically? How do we draw on Christ to grow in contentment and to cope with our circumstances? And Paul says twice that it was something he had learned. So it's something he had practiced. Part of it came as a matter of course because he was in Christ. He was in the vine, if you like. So in a sense, he's got the groundings, but then he had to practice to develop it. And here are some ideas for things that we can do to help grow our contentment. So firstly, we can try and get into a habit of expressing gratitude for the good things that we have. Learn to live well with abundance in good circumstances. And this is something I started trying to do more of after our recent series in the Psalms. For instance, Psalm 103 verse 2 states, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I have found that particularly when I'm feeling down, praising God and acknowledging his benefits really helps to change my perspective on life. So thank you to all those who preached in that series. So first of all then, get into that habit of expressing gratitude. Secondly, let's be alert for indications of discontent and be ready to positively learn from our circumstances. Look for God in the situation. Is he wanting to teach us something through difficult circumstances? I was challenged this week by something that cropped up and exposed to me that I'm more materialistic than I like to think I am. And God used a circumstance to bring that to my attention. It was something I needed to confess and something I needed to ask God to change my heart about. So our circumstances and our reaction to them, including discontent, can actually give us positive opportunities to learn, to grow our relationship, to become more mature. Thirdly, we can deal with anxiety in our circumstances. We can deal with those feelings of powerlessness we sometimes have. As we talked about last week, taking that anxiety to God, acknowledging it, asking for his peace. And again, personally, I find that one way to do that is to praise and reflect on God rather than the issues. So one night this week, I woke up feeling really anxious about something, which, to be honest, isn't usual for me. And I was lying there mulling it over until I consciously started to think about God and to praise him instead. And I found that peace came, the anxiety receded, and I was able to get back to sleep. So take the anxiety to God in a way that works for you. And finally, fourthly, focus on things of the kingdom, not the things of the world. Again, Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And that's what Paul did so well. He focused on Jesus and what he wanted him to do. And the great thing is then that as we focus on the kingdom and God's will for us, it helps us to become less obsessed with our circumstances. And as we focus less on our circumstances, so we can become more aware of God's will for us. It's a lovely, circular, positive feedback loop. So to repeat those four points, express gratitude for our circumstances, especially in the good times. Look out for discontent and seek to learn from circumstances that we're less happy about. Take our anxieties to God and focus on the kingdom of God, not the things of the world. Repeat as necessary. And as we practice this, actively seeking to learn contentment in all circumstances and drawing on Christ's strength, we should grow in maturity and be more able to recognise God's will for us. And so just to finish, perhaps you and I would like to reflect on those four points and to just ask ourselves, how can we engage with the kingdom of God this week, being content whatever our circumstances. And God bless you.
Thank you, Judith, so much. Let's just have a moment of quiet to allow Judith's words to settle in our hearts. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would stir in us something specific in that teaching that would really impact us. Come, Holy Spirit. So how do we find contentment, whatever our circumstances? Well, I just want to invite you to get the piece of paper that you wrote earlier, where you had those two lists of contentments and discontentments. Now, so often those things that we will have listed will have been our circumstances or events. And actually, I want to ask you, invite you to offer those pieces of paper with all those things on them and offer them to Jesus, because it is only with Jesus Christ will we find contentment in all circumstances. He is the source of all contentment, as Judith and of course St. Paul is pointing out. And perhaps you might want to physically draw a line right through those lists. And at the bottom of the paper, write Jesus. He is the good news. He is the God who brings us contentment. Whether we're in jail, like Paul was, whether we're being shipwrecked in life, like Paul was, whether we're in sickness or in health, whether we're with others or whether we're alone, whatever our circumstances, it is Jesus who enables us to be content. So why don't you offer that piece of paper up to him now, and let me pray, and then that will lead into Barry continuing with our intercessions. So Lord Jesus, we offer the list that we've made. We recognize the things, the physical, the worldly things so often, or our emotions or our circumstances, we offer those to you now and realign ourselves, re-recognizing that the treasure, the secret, the treasure of heaven is that it is you who brings us contentment, whatever our circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning we lift our minds, our hearts and our thoughts as we pray to you, Lord God, for the situations in our world. Beirut, what can we say and what can we pray for that battered and poor city and its people? Please, Lord, we pray that you would just be with all those who are hurting and mourning. Think of this pandemic that affects the whole world, and we lift to you, Father, those who mourn the loss of loved ones, those who continue to suffer ill health, and we pray for people searching for solutions, for vaccines, those doing the testing. And of course we think now of those on the front line, not just our wonderful NHS workers, but people from shops, hotels, restaurants, the police, all those who help us. And Father, we pray, Lord, bless their selflessness. And we think especially of those who have been shielding through health or age reasons. And Lord, we just ask you to bring them comfort. And we know there's so many people, including those who are vulnerable, who seek physical contact, and families particularly have suffered at this time. So few hugs, such separation, so many. And think at this time now of our government and all those in power, and pray for wisdom for all their decisions, particularly for all those multiple agencies who are currently trying to implement policies for the common good. And we know just in this week all the debacle over the exam results, and we pray for our young people as they search for solutions for their the next step in their academic careers. And think particularly and lift to you, Lord God, those for whom hopes and dreams have been dashed. At this time, young people and children thinking about going back to school, many with great excitement in their hearts. But for some, it's a time of anxiety, particularly those from vulnerable backgrounds, those from especially disadvantaged backgrounds, for whom school may be a fearful place. I pray finally for our churches across the land, our churches here in Malvern, and especially All Saints and St Andrews. And we pray that as they open up again, they may offer support, comfort, and help amongst our congregations and in our communities. In particular, we pray for our staff team. We pray for Dave, for Peter, for Eddie, Helen, for Sarah and Kirsty, and our new cleaner, Anita. Lord, would you bless them? Would you bring them comfort? And we pray for our fellowship, for our congregations, for the time when we can meet again, share our hopes and stories and pray for each other and share coffee and fellowship. It seems ages, Lord, and we just pray a blessing on our congregations. And finally, Father God, we pray for our faith lives, which may for many have run a little dry at this difficult time. Bring us hope, I pray. Refresh our souls with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, we pray. And we bring these prayers to you, Father God, in and through the name of our precious Lord, Jesus Christ. And now we share together the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that sustains us on a daily basis.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
Deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
We now come to celebrate communion, to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. The reason that he can be our contentment, whatever our circumstances. And though we aren't together, united in physical closeness, we are united in the spirit as the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we gather around to share communion spiritually, and we pray for the time that we can do it once again physically. Now, I'm hoping the words will come up on the screen so that you can follow and you can be as much a part of this as you can. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up our hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. it is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embrace us as your children and welcome us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for you. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with the whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we draw together spiritually, united spiritually, though apart, knowing that the Lord is with us wherever we are. And if you do have some bread or a cracker or some juice, as a symbol, why don't you take that in remembrance of what Christ did for you on the cross. Heavenly Father, we remember that you are the source of all contentment. Whatever law the life throws at us, if we fix our eyes on you, you will lead us through the valley of death into the pastures safe on the other side. So, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Declares.
glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever He will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship Him alone. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Forever You will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship You alone. Forever You will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship You alone.
So our service is drawing to a close now, and just before we finish, I want to just give another shout out to all the students in our community and in our town, all those that have been doing A-levels, and particularly this week, those who have been getting their GCSEs. Whatever your results are, I want you to know that we've been praying for you, we're cheering you on, and I pray that as we've been talking this morning, you would know the Lord's contentment, and the contentment would come from Him. We obviously pray that you've got all that you've wanted, but if that hasn't been the case, bless you, we know that the Lord is with you as you journey through the consequences of that. But bless you, we're with you. So other news will be in the news sheet and on the website. Please look at that, and there's more information. And if you want to get in contact with me or anybody at the church, please contact my email is on the website, and also please, if necessary, get in a hold of the office. So can I encourage you as we go into this coming week that you stay alert to where you are getting your contentment from, and whether you're unsettled or whether you're in a good place, to remember that it's Jesus that is the source of all contentment, and let us press in and journey with Him this week. So let me finish with the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine His face upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Bless you, and look forward to seeing you very soon. Bye-bye.